Today's the last day here in Ubrajadam. I'll be leaving this afternoon to go to Budapest and stay there for one day and then start traveling, coming back for Namhada camp at the end of the month, Janmashtami, Vyas Puja. Yesterday we had a nice meeting with the managers of the Braja project, the development of New Brajadam with the corresponding pastime places, and that was really exciting. I'll probably be putting up a whole section on the pod site called the Braja Project for those who want to participate, know about it, contribute to it. Right now it seems that we're going to start with doing that which will be most visible to guests, devotees, most useful, which is placing little mandirs in the 10 to 12 main pastime places, namely Nandagram, Varshana, Vrindavan, Kamyavan, Gokula, Mathura, and so on. And for devotees who have been here or seen, these will be temples like those which are down by the lower lake, made of cast stone, just like ones that you find in Vrindavan and Jaipur. And built around them will be little gardens with trees and a little lake. And then the next stage will be is to put in the very individual places either vertical signs for those which are further away or for those which are close to each other and close to where devotees walk. Then there will be large lotuses that are about 80 centimeters in diameter with the name of the pastime place, and they're like walking stones, except you don't walk on them. They'll be cemented into the ground and done either in cast stone or ceramic. Hopefully we'll have all the work done this year. By work, I mean not just the planning, but the casting. And then as soon as weather allows in the spring, we'll begin to install these. Anyway, just look for that on the website, either an entirely separate classification, the Braja Project, or regular updates on it, as well as pictures and opportunities for Seva to Radhe Shyam. Another interesting thing was this morning's Bhagavatam class, and I didn't get to do Kirtan because I was quite busy writing. Now I've started to write about the actual pastime places, and that's encouraging and exciting. Finally, I'm starting to write about the actual places of pastimes. Started with Vishramgat this morning. And I'll start going around the Dham, of course, only mentioning the most prominent and important places, because it won't be possible to speak in detail about all the 600-plus pastime places that are here in New Brajadam. But in class, we were reading from the seventh canto, and particularly it was an interesting point, which is being quoted by Hiranyakashipu. He's citing a conversation between Yamaraj and some ladies mourning for their dead husband. And the verse itself says that those who have full knowledge of self-realization, who know very well that the spirit soul is eternal, whereas the body is perishable, are not overwhelmed by lamentation. But persons who lack knowledge of self-realization certainly lament. Therefore, it is difficult to educate persons in illusion. I mean, these points in themselves are really fascinating. And, of course, it's something that we as Vaishnavas know well and practice, this concept of cultivating atma-tattva, the knowledge of the soul, as something that keeps us from becoming overwhelmed by both the miseries of the material world as well as the happiness. And those who don't have such knowledge, then they're always lamenting when they incur difficulty, and such people in illusion are really difficult to educate. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada's talking about the importance of cultivating knowledge of the soul, and then right at the very end he makes this very interesting statement: one must therefore be educated in self-realization so that under any circumstances in life he will remain steady in his vows. So this is an interesting thought for us to meditate on for the day, that when we know, when we are fixed in transcendental knowledge, we can actually remain fixed in our vows and our different obligations, obligations in service, obligations in ashram, obligations to each other as persons, as friends, vows that we've taken for initiation, our commitments to Krishna, Guru. And the converse is that if we forget our spiritual identity, then most likely we're going to compromise all of these vows, because we'll be driven by sense gratification to those things which are obviously in opposition to real spiritual values. So that's a very interesting thought. And let me look at some questions received today. Okay, here's a question from Kalavati Devi Dasi in the UK. This has been waiting for some time. In the 10th canto, chapter 69, Narada Muni is observing Lord Krishna's activities in his different palaces. Srila Prabhupada comments that Krishna was found performing the Pancha Yajna, which is compulsory for a householder who is committing five kinds of sinful activities, knowingly or unknowingly. Please could you elaborate what we as devotees should be doing to address this? We commit all kinds of sinful activities. Just by eating, we're killing living entities. By breathing, we're doing the same. And this is our plight. So in order to be free from the results of such sinful activities, materialistic devotees perform yagyas or spiritual activities to counteract the results of their sinful deeds, even if they do them unknowingly, what to speak of if they do them knowingly. I say materialistic devotees because pure devotees, they don't perform devotional activities to free themselves from the results of sin, but they perform spiritual activities to please Krishna. And by performing those spiritual activities, they leave the result to him. Aham tam sarva pape vyo moksha shami maashu chaha. Translated, Krishna says, listen, don't worry about sinful reactivities. They're automatically a consequence of full surrender to him. Now, we don't perform pancha yajna. What we do is we perform sankirtan. We chant Hare Krishna. And by the chanting of the holy names, then that is the essence of the pancha yajna. That is the essence of spiritual activities, and automatically devotees are freed from any type of sin that they incur in the course of daily activities, in the course of their lives. But we shouldn't chant Hare Krishna with the idea that, oh, I have to become free from results of sinful activities, let me chant Hare Krishna. That isn't the mood of pure devotional service. That is impure devotional service, mixed devotional service. So as devotees, as grihasthas, sannyasis, brahmacharis, everyone, we should jointly chant Hare Krishna. We should perform our regular activities of sadhana for Krishna's pleasure and to purify our hearts, knowing well that this type of thing, freedom from sinful reaction, tvam sarva papebhyo, that's automatically included. That comes as a natural consequence of pleasing the Lord. Okay, I'm going to then now take care of my deities, and we'll continue with questions tomorrow. It'll be a little bit of a packed day before I can get out this evening, and hoping that everyone's in nice, happy Krishna consciousness and tasting the bliss of devotional service. Hare Krishna.